live a godly life? What is a godly response to those times when there are trials, when there's a bewilderment, when there is distress in our lives? How do we as Christians live? Now, this morning we saw some things. We saw three things from Psalm 3 about how David remembered who God is, and how David gave himself to prayer, and how David trusted in the Lord. And this evening, again, looking at this psalm, we're looking at the same topic, and I'm going to bring out some more things. There's going to be overlap, but there are some other things in this psalm which I trust will be of encouragement and of help to us. The first point I'm going to make, I've already made this morning, but it is there again. It's a powerful point. I want to bring that out. And then there's a couple of other points that are there in this psalm. So how then does a child of God respond to trials, to difficulties in his life? Well, as we said this morning, the first thing we are to do, or one of the first things we are to do, is to pray. And this psalm, of course, is a prayer. Answer me when I call, O God of my righteousness. Be gracious to me and hear my prayer. And all the way right till the end, there is this prayer that David offers. And it is a reminder. Isn't it interesting how often God reminds us to do this when we are in distress, when there are issues in our lives, where we find ourselves in difficulty? We are not to forget this facility that God has given to us, pray. We don't have to rush into this. We don't have to. Now, there are all kinds of things we need to do. But there are times when in rushing into this and that, we actually forget that most basic thing. We are to pray. When we look at this psalm, we notice that there are two things that David prays for. In verse 1, he prays that God might be gracious to him. In the third sentence of verse 1, be gracious to me and hear my prayer. So he prays for God's grace. Now, the grace of God is, of course, the free favor of God, the unmerited favor of God. And David is asking for that. David is saying, look upon me with grace, with favor. I may not deserve blessing, but I need blessing. Be gracious to me and give me blessing. But the word grace also means strength, enabling. In the book of Hebrews, we are told that we are to approach the throne room of grace. We are to come to Christ in order to find grace in times of need. That's how the writer to the Hebrews puts it. He says, you go to God and you seek grace in times of need. And the thing that he has in mind, of course, is enabling from God, power from God, strength from God, so that we may stand in the times of trials and not compromise and not deny the Lord. So that is instruction from the scriptures. You're facing a difficult time. Go and ask God for strength. Don't seek to rely on your own strength, on your own ability. Go and ask God for strength. God will strengthen you. So that is the first request that he makes. Be gracious to me. And then in verse 6, we have a second request that he makes. In the second half of verse 6, he says, lift up the light of your face upon us, O Lord. Lift up the light of your face upon us, O Lord. This is a prayer for God's presence to be with him. This is what Old Testament language, this is what it means in Old Testament language. When he says, lift up the light of your face upon us, he's saying, Lord, be with us. It's a kind of a paraphrase of the Aaronic blessing, the Lord be with you and make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. You see, he's rewording some of that. He's asked for grace in verse 1. And here he again rewords that And he says, lift up the light of your face upon us. In other words, Lord, grant me your presence. You know, it's a wonderful thing to actually know the presence of God. And particularly at this time, when we find ourselves isolated, and if you are on your own, you're not with a family, you're on your own, and you are, as we all are, isolated, you're spending many hours on your own. It's a wonderful thing to pray that God might visit you, that by his Spirit he would come and be with you, so that you would be aware of his presence with you. And you'd be aware of the blessings of God and the joy of the Lord and the love of God and the fellowship of his Spirit. These things are real. These are not just sort of emotions, but there is a real presence of God with his people. And David knew that. And David, in this time when people had turned on him and people were bringing all kinds of charges against him, he turns to the Lord and he says, lift up the light of your face upon us, O Lord. Grant us, he says, your presence. So let's remember these things that we are to pray for. We are to pray for grace, for strengthening, and we are to pray for the presence of God. How does this godly man respond in times of trial? Well, he prays. But I want you to notice a second thing that David does in this psalm. He not only prays, but secondly, he calls to mind the blessings that God has given him. As you go through this psalm, you come across sentences, you come across statements where David is, as it were, bringing to remembrance the blessings that God has granted him. You notice that in verse 1, he begins with a prayer, answer me when I call, O God of my righteousness. But then he immediately brings to mind some blessing that God has granted him. You have given me relief when I was in distress. So he says there have been times when I have had enormous distress and you have come to me and you've granted me relief. I've known the blessing of the Lord when I have been in distress in the past. He goes on in verse 3 and he says, but know that the Lord has set apart the godly for himself. The Lord hears when I call to him. So again, he's bringing to mind the blessings that he has received from the Lord. He says, the Lord has set apart the godly for himself. He remembers that he's an Israelite. He's a child of the covenant. He has inherited the promises and the blessings of God's covenant with Abraham. And he knows that all who belong to the family of Abraham have been set apart. They're not like the nations of the world. God has spoken to Israel. And God has said to Israel in Exodus chapter 19, God has said to them, that all the nations of the world are mine, but you, he says to Israel, you will be to me a kingdom of priests, and you are my people, and I will be your God. There was this covenant where God made promises to the people of Israel that he would bless them, and that he would protect them, and that he would provide for them. And David remembers that covenant. David, in this time of distress, doesn't want to become discouraged and doesn't want to become depressed. David, at this time of trials, doesn't want to go into complaining and grumbling and murmuring. And so he sort of scattered throughout this psalm, there are these statements of the blessings that God has granted to him. Verse 1, you have given me relief when I was in distress. Verse 3, the Lord has set apart the godly for himself. The Lord hears when I call him. There have obviously been times before this particular distress when David was in other difficulties and he called out to the Lord and the Lord has heard his prayer. And he brings that to mind. He remembers this. And he writes it down and he says, God has been gracious to me. Verses 7 and 8, you have some more blessings that God has granted to him, and he remembers them. You have put more joy in my heart than they have when their grain and their wine abound. Verse 8, in peace I will both lie down and sleep, for you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety. So he remembers that God has granted him joy. Perhaps at this time he's in turmoil, but he remembers those times when he had great joy in the Lord. I don't know if he was king in Israel when he wrote this, but if he was, perhaps he remembers the time when he brought the Ark of the Covenant into Jerusalem. And he danced before the Lord because he was full of joy. The Lord had granted him joy. And there had been other seasons, and we know from some of the Psalms that David had known the joy of the Lord. Now, he doesn't allow his trials to drive out all those memories. He goes back to that and he says, there have been wonderful times when God has been gracious to me and God has granted me joy. And he remembers the time when God has granted him peace. And we looked at it this morning, how despite the fact that Absalom had rebelled against him, he was able to sleep that night. And he was able to cast his cares upon the Lord and leave them with the Lord. And he had known peace. And he remembers that and he says, in peace I will both lie down and sleep, for you alone make me dwell in safety. Do you know, and I keep saying this in these sessions when we are looking at these Psalms, but I do want to apply it to our situation. And it's an interesting situation we find ourselves in. Ben Phipps has been on the phone this afternoon and we had a long chat, and he was saying, isn't it interesting? You know, it's such an interesting time to live. And we are in isolation. And sometimes we have a lot of time. If you are working from home, of course you are busy. But even if you're not, if you are working from home, you've got the evenings and you've got the weekends. And if you aren't working from home, well, you've got a lot of time. How do you use that time? Well, I made a suggestion this morning that we are to give ourselves to prayer. We are to learn to pray and ask the Lord to teach us to pray. Let me make another suggestion this evening. How about making a list of the blessings that God has given us? Very easy to become discouraged. It's very easy to feel lonely and to begin to feel low spiritually. And we are to guard ourselves against such things. And we are to make sure we don't actually do that. You know, later in one of the Psalms, David addresses his own soul. And David says, why are you cast down within me? Trust in the Lord. So you see, we have a duty when we're feeling low spiritually. We have a duty to actually lift ourselves, to go to the Lord. And we have a duty to say to ourselves, I'm not going to get discouraged. I'm not going to be low spiritually. I'm going to fight this. And I'm going to use biblical means to fight this. And here I suggest is one way. David seems to have used this. He goes back again and again to all the blessings that God has given him. And we can make a list of all these wonderful blessings God has given to us, that God has chosen us in Christ, and God has sent Jesus for us, and Jesus died on the cross of Calvary for us, and Jesus took our sins upon himself, and Jesus has made an end of our sin. And Jesus has brought us forgiveness. And Jesus has brought us into the kingdom of God and granted us the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit of God lives in us. And the Holy Spirit of God is at work transforming us into the image of Christ. All these blessings of adoption, justification, sanctification, they're all there. And then there are all the personal blessings. These are just the general blessings of our salvation. But there are all these personal blessings. And every one of us, we can look back at our Christian lives and we can remember answers to prayer. We can remember the times when God granted us peace, when God granted us joy, and when the Lord was with us and granted us relief in our distresses. We can remember those times. And they're precious memories. And it's good to count your blessings and to name them one by one. It'll help us to be encouraged in the Lord. It's a serious exercise, and it'll help us to be encouraged in the Lord. So, David is a man in distress. What does he do? Well, he comes to God in prayer. Secondly, he counts his blessings. He remembers his blessings. But there's a third thing. I'm just going to take a drink. There's a third thing that David does in this psalm. It's a very interesting thing. And the third thing that David does is that he remembers he is a testimony to unbelievers. He remembers that he is a testimony to the unbelievers. Do you notice in this psalm, he speaks to unbelievers. He addresses them. He says in verse 2, O men, how long shall my honor be turned into shame? Now, perhaps there were people who were slandering him. And there were people who were saying to him, you're not fit to be a king. You're not fit to hold the throne. And maybe they were using all kinds of language to slander him. And David speaks to them and says, how long shall my honor be turned to shame? How long will you love vain words and seek after lies? And then he addresses them, verse 3, but know that the Lord has set apart the godly for himself. The Lord hears when I call to him. This is a testimony he's giving to them. And he's saying, the Lord has set apart those who are godly, and the Lord loves them, and the Lord provides for them, and the Lord listens to them when they pray. And then he instructs them, verses 4 and 5. And he says, if you are angry, don't have sinful anger. Be angry and do not sin. Ponder in your own hearts, on your beds, and be silent. Offer right sacrifices and put your trust in the Lord. Now, these are interesting thoughts, aren't they? Speaking to unbelievers at a time of distress. Because he knows that others are watching him. How does he handle this distress? And there are Christians around us. There are members of our family. There are our friends, our neighbors. And they know we're Christians. And we live in strange times. And perhaps they're watching us. And perhaps they're thinking to themselves, how do these Christians respond? And perhaps you have opportunity to enter into dialogue with them. Perhaps one of your neighbors phones you. Or you phone up a friend and you enter into a dialogue because they're lonely and you want to just ring them up, make sure they're okay. And in the course of your phone call, you enter into a conversation. And isn't it interesting, the thing that David asks these men to do, these people to do? I find it very interesting in verse 4. He says to them, ponder in your own hearts, on your beds, and be silent. In other words, he's saying to them, think. Think about who you are. Think about who God is. Think about life. Think about death. Ponder on these things, he says. Ponder in your own hearts, on your beds, and be silent. I wonder how many people at a time like this, when we are in this enforced isolation, I wonder how many people will ponder. I wonder how many unsaved people will think about life and about death. And as they hear about coronavirus and the number of deaths in our nation, and it's tragic, of course, we don't want anybody to die. And it's tragic when you hear of the numbers who are dying, and they're saying we're still an upward curve and we won't reach a plateau for another, I think they're saying 3 weeks. I think I heard 12th of April or something like that is the projected time when we will hit a plateau. But until then, the number of deaths, I think it's doubling every 3 days. Well, that surely must make people think. Those who have health issues, those who are elderly, surely they must be thinking about life and about death. And this surely is a time of speaking to our friends, our neighbors, a phone call. What do you think? What do you think is happening in the world today? And maybe they'll ask you and say, you're a Christian, what's going on? I mean, you believe in God and you say God is merciful. Well, what's going on? And we can give an answer. We can say, yes, God is gracious and God is merciful, but God is also holy. And God, in mercy, uses times of trial to bring people to himself. And perhaps this trial has come upon our nation, that men may think about what's going on, and men may think about life and death and heaven and hell. And we can use this opportunity. It seems David has done that. And David says to these people in verse 5, he says, offer right sacrifices. Offer sacrifices that are acceptable. Perhaps they were Israelites, but the way that they were bringing sacrifices to the temple was unacceptable to God. In the days of Isaiah, this happened. People were bringing sacrifices, and God said through Isaiah, I don't want those sacrifices, they're unacceptable. And perhaps this was happening in the day of David. And David says, when you bring sacrifices, make sure your heart is right with God. And he says to them in verse 5, put your trust in the Lord. So in his distress, David cries out to God. He prays to God. He prays to God for grace, and he prays to God for his presence. These are wonderful things to pray for. And in his distress, David remembers the blessings that God has given him, how God has given him relief in the past, how God has set him apart, how God granted him joy and granted him peace. And David remembers the unsaved, and he's a testimony to them. And David prays for them and speaks to them. Well, I trust these little thoughts are of help to us as we go through what is a very interesting time. Well, let's pray that the Lord will bless us and help us as we seek to follow his word.